Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen. Dear members, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of St. Timothy, any visitors we might have with us this morning, but most importantly of all, fellow redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ. Amen. Many years ago, Dr. Ellie Jane Wheeler was a member of Wheaton College faculty. She had been a member for 16 years. Shortly before her death, she wrote the following to the college faculty and the students. My doctor at last has given what has been his real diagnosis of my illness for weeks, an inoperable case of cancer of the pancreas. Now, if he had been a Christian, he wouldn't have been so dilatory, that is, slow, and shaken, for he would have known, as you and I do, that life or death is equally welcome when we live in the will and presence of the Lord. If the Lord has chosen me to go to him soon, I go gladly. On the other hand, I remember that Christ is still great, and he is the great physician. And so, in simple faith and trust, I say to him, Lord, if you wilt, thou canst make me whole. I await his answer in utter peace. Please do not give a moment's grief to me. Think of me only happily, gaily, as I do of you. My interest is as keen as ever in everything over there, the Memorial Student Center and the buildings that are to follow, commencement affairs with all the joy and lightheartedness of the event. I do not say a cold goodbye, but rather a warm Auf Wiedersehen, till I see you again. By God's power and grace on campus this fall, or later in the blessed land, where I will be allowed to draw aside a curtain when you enter. With a heart full of love for every individual of you, Effie Jane Wheeler. It wasn't long after that she passed away. What was it that enabled a woman like Effie Jane Wheeler to face her death with such a positive attitude toward the future? Effie Wheeler had come to know and believed in one major event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior. You see, my friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes things. It changes our hearts, and it changes our lives. In today's first reading, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, the Christian church is in its infancy. But already the number of believers has grown into the thousands. What do we know about them? Well, from the text for today, we know that they are full, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. What does that mean? Well, the great Lutheran theologian P.E. Kretzmann wrote, there was perfect harmony in both affection and thought. There was true unity of spirit. It may seem remarkable that people from such a variety of social relations and conditions could be so thoroughly agreed and so completely harmonious, but such is the power of faith in Jesus Christ. The This isn't to say that they all agreed on what you were going to have for lunch, or what the color of her room was going to be painted, or what people should wear, or what political party you should support. It means that they were in perfect harmony, of one heart and one soul, regarding the teachings of the prophets and the evangelists and the apostles. In other words, the word of God and the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. It had taken these people of various backgrounds, cultures, and melded them into one heart and one soul. They were in perfect harmony regarding the teachings of Jesus. This harmony of heart and soul reflected itself in a change in their lives and their attitudes toward one another and material possessions. The love of God in Christ moved them to love and care for one another, the text says. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. That was remarkable. When you consider that that was not based upon the law, Paul or the other apostles were not going out and say, Christ is risen, now you must do these things. You must show your love in giving of the things you have. No. It was in response to the work of the Holy Spirit and their hearts and their souls and the knowledge of God's love. And it was God's love in Christ that changed them. And so they voluntarily, willingly gave of their possessions so that no one would go without. The text says, because with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. What is it that had changed their heart and their soul and thus their lives? The wonderful news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dr. Kretzmann went on to write, this spirit was kept alive and strengthened by the fact that the apostles, with great power, gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. It was the spirit, the love of the risen Christ that lived in the disciples, that actuated them and prompted them to give such evidence of true and unselfish love. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes hearts, changes souls, changes lives. It was the resurrection of Jesus that changed the lives of his disciples, his very early disciples and apostles, as we heard in today's gospel reading that we're all familiar with. Jesus was dead. They were huddled together in a room with the windows closed and locked and the doors locked. Why? They were afraid. What was going to happen to them? Were they next? They were confused. Some were saying, Jesus Christ is risen. They didn't know where his body was. And then suddenly, in their locked room on that first resurrection Sunday evening, the risen Lord appeared to them, and knowing their troubled hearts, simply said those beautiful words, peace be with you. He showed them the marks in his hands where the nails had been, the place where the spear had been thrust into his side. They believed, and their hearts of fear were changed to gladness. They were changed. We heard about the change of Thomas. didn't happen to be there, that room. Sometimes he gets a bad rap. The fact that he wasn't there wasn't bad. And he came back and they told him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas, "Unless I see the place where the nails were and the spear, where the spear was inside, I won't believe." And then Jesus does it again. Comes in that locked room, and Thomas, "Take a look." And Thomas didn't even have to touch those spots. And all he could say was, "My Lord and my God." And his life too. His heart, his soul, and his life was changed. And those men who were living in fear, following Pentecost, went out and proclaimed the word without fear. Even though their lives were in danger, and ultimately all of them except John were martyred. But the risen Lord had changed their hearts, their souls, and their lives. And they could not do anything else but go and touch and tell. The resurrection of Jesus changes hearts and lives. But that raises a question. Why does what happened to one man have such power to change hearts, souls, and lives? And the answer to that was found in today's second reading in 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know, and we confessed earlier in our worship service, that we are all guilty of sin. We are by nature, because of Adam, guilty of the original sin. And because of that, we sin. You have to remember, we're not sinful by nature because we sin. We sin because we are by nature sinful. All our works are stained by sin. Anything we might offer to God to purchase forgiveness and eternal life, to have that attitude that Effie had toward her death, anything that we might offer to God for that sense of peace, would count for nothing because it is stained by sin. There would be no hope of eternal glory. But what do we say today? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Little delayed reaction, but not bad. Yes, Christ is risen. He is, as John says, the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest would go into the temple, the Holy of Holies, and bring the blood of the animal sacrificed and cast it on the altar to cover the sins of the people, of himself and the people. The blood would cover the sins before God. Jesus Christ is that propitiation. That sacrifice, his blood covers our sins. Not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. And how do we know that to be true? Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You're getting better. He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, though he will die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. He is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will have the light of life. With his resurrection, the scripture says, he was declared with power to become the Son of God. His resurrection is the proof that all that the Old Testament said about him, all that he said about himself, was absolutely true. And he is that propitiation for our sins. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justification. Therefore, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. It changes our hearts, it changes our souls, and it changes our lives. Like F. Ellie Wheeler. I've confused myself. Effie Wheeler. I said Ellie. In Jesus Christ, you know that in this world or in the next, you are bound. You are, by God's grace through faith, bound in the love of God. And that whether you wake here or you wake in, you will wake in your spirit in heaven. The resurrection of Jesus changes our lives also because we live in the knowledge of forgiveness of sins. Every day, Satan tries to rob the believer of the confidence of God's love by pointing out our sins. Every day, he wants us to look inward and see our sins and our failures and to remind us that we don't deserve God's love and that we are terrible people. But God wants you instead to look at the cross and look at the empty tomb. And there you see Jesus' victory over your sins, no matter what they might be. His victory over death and the grave. And that he is the bringer of life. And he wants you to look at the waters of your baptism. Because at your baptism, the victory that was Jesus over sin and death and the grave became yours. And so when we sin, we go to God. We don't hide our sins. We confess our sins to God. And he forgives us our sins. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't hide them. Confess them. And have his forgiveness and assurance. And when we have met with that kind of love, how can we not but help, as the early Christians want to go out and share that love with others, telling them about God's love for them in Jesus Christ and showing them that love through our works of love for them, that Jesus might love them through us. Yes, my friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes things. It has changed you. It has changed your heart. It has changed your soul. It changes your life. What more can be said than Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed.
Amen.